Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and at the end of this episode, you will be hearing from Elliot Devon. She came and played our Closed on Sunday music series at Al Spirits and Music in Reform, Alabama. I anticipate you'll be hearing a lot from that young lady. She's winning a lot of song competitions, and if you get a chance to see her, go do that. Without further ado, I have Megan Clearman here with me today, and she is going to share her story about what's been going on for, what, almost a year now, Megan?
Yeah, so August the 21st is coming up on a year since this happened. I guess I'll just jump right in.
Well, I tell you what. Just before that, a little background on you. Just a little bit about who you are. Mother. Just the little things I know. Has the football team over to provide a meal. just some things about you, just to kind of warm people up.
I'm a mother of three. So I have a daughter who I actually just sent off last week to boot camp for the Air Force. So super proud of her. Have another son who is 20, rocking and rolling and doing his thing. And I've pretty much been mom. That has been my job title, I guess. I've always been a stay-at-home mom with them. My husband, Ben, he works in the oil field, and so he's gone a lot. He actually works out of the country. So pretty much, as most stay-at-home moms and most moms, your kids are your life. There's really not a whole lot of room for outside when you have three of them. But that's a little bit about me.
No, I mean, I think that's perfect. It kind of sets the stage. So, I mean, take us to August 21st last year. What happened?
Okay, so we are just a normal family. Neither one of us have a criminal record. Our children do not either. Pay our taxes, all that jam. And so basically what happened was, is that night on August the 21st, the power was actually out here in this little neighbor or community that we live in. And so we were all at home, and my husband was actually getting ready to leave for work the next day out of the country. So it was a little chaotic here, generators going. And however, our youngest son was at church at the time, and my husband went to go pick him up. And as if anyone who has children, mine are particularly, they're usually like the last ones out of the locker room, out of anywhere that you're going. So he had already sat in the parking lot for like 45 minutes waiting on him. He had to leave early he was supposed to leave early the next day going to work. Well, he finally got our son, and he was on his way back home, and he encountered a roadside safety checkpoint. And whenever he pulled up, he questioned the stop to the officer, hey, what is this? What's going on? And the officer basically didn't like his attitude. It's pretty much all I can say about that.
Okay.
He did not like his attitude. And he had questioned, whether they had announced this on social media or anything. And the cop actually, he didn't like his attitude. ordered him to get out of, or told him that if he didn't, told him that if he wanted him to fix his attitude, that they could certainly do that. And my husband was like, no. And so he then tells him to get out of the vehicle, and it kind of escalated to that from that point. But from the time that the stop actually started was 40 seconds. And at that point, he busted my husband's window directly in his face. There was another officer that came around to the passenger side where our innocent, he was then 15, child was sitting there. And I can hear on the audio them threatening to bust his window if he did not open the door. The truck was actually in drive when all of this was going on, so he could not actually even open the door if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, my husband puts the vehicle in park, and he tells them at that time, he says, he's a minor, because they are screaming and yelling at him. And there is no video of this. Conveniently, their body cameras did not cut on until he was out of the vehicle. But they grabbed him and pulled him out of the vehicle, left bruising on his arms. He had glass all over him. They handcuffed him. They read him his rights. They held this 15-year-old child in handcuffs for approximately 7 minutes. At that point, they went into his pocket, got his cell phone, pulled his cell phone out of his pocket, used his facial identification to unlock the phone, and then proceeded to go through his phone contacts and find me. And they called me and told me that, you know, he was like, "Mom, I need you to come get me." And I was like, "Why? Your dad just left. What's going on?" And he was like, "Well, Dad's been arrested and I'm detained." And at that point, like, I just had no idea what's going on. But later, you know, is when I started finding out other details about what had happened.
Yeah. And I mean, just back to that moment of, you know, I'm kind of the same way when it comes to those checkpoints. Like, I know a lot of law enforcement officers, all the way up to state trooper, to county, to city, like just any level. And most of the guys that I talk to, like that work in that field, they're not even big fans of doing those checkpoints. Because, I mean, all it does is if you have somewhere to be, it's a hassle. And like you're wasting my time.
Right.
And so I 100% understand where your husband was coming from with that. And then, like, just, like, to put myself in your son's shoes for a minute is like, okay, you just busted the driver's side glass out, ripped my dad out of the car, and now you're screaming and yelling at me. I would be frozen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he, now, he did, you know, talk to the officer, but he was very, very calm. And, you know, just in talking, I know my child, he was scared. He had like 20 seconds to react to everything that happened. Because like I was saying, from the time that my husband pulled up to the stop to the time that the window was broken was 40 seconds.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Yes. There was actually like no de-escalation from the officers. What happened afterwards, once I was able to obtain some of the body cam, was when I realized, you know, how bad it really was.
And just, I mean, just right here, just to stop you, you know, like, this right here is so important. Like, a friend of mine, he's from Brooklyn, New York. He lived down in Florida for a time. He lived in Georgia, and now he's here in Starkville. And, like, we were just kind of just talking, like, just over the years and some of the injustices that he's seen. And he's like, man, let me tell you this. This is something my grandma used to say. If there is injustice anywhere, it has to be everywhere. And so, like, just an instance, a case like this, and everything that you have going on from August 21st of last year up to today is, I mean, people should really take this deadly serious because of you're waging, you know, so to speak, war with, like, these people are civil servants. They are here to serve and protect yes. us. They're not here to, like, harass and give us an attitude check or whatever that language was. That's not their job.
Right.
And so, and like, what you're doing is, like, you're holding the county of, you know, and I've really enjoyed following the story on your social media. Is you're wanting accountability from everyone that is supposed to be a civil servant, and they were either voted there or they were put in place there. And so, like, their job is very important, and it's like you just keep finding cracks.
Oh, yes. And it is – the corruption here runs deeper than I even want to know. The things that, you know, you start finding when you start digging. However, like, we have just had the hardest time just getting basic information. It feels like an absolute, like, battle getting anything. The FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, like, we have exhausted that. And they just, our board of supervisors and our county attorney, they just flat out ignore every one of them. Like, I've got one that I made on June the 2nd, and I even got up in front of a board meeting and address this again, and nothing. But it is just the things that I have uncovered through this are just, I have learned so much about our justice system, and just how corrupt and how, you know, especially if you do not have an attorney, or you can't afford an attorney, or you have no resources at all, it is just a nightmare.
Absolutely. And it's almost beginning to look like it was made that way on purpose, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So just after the incident, Ben gets out of jail, like, walk me through, like, the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, like, as a family. I mean, were y'all praying on what to do? Like, are we gonna pursue justice? Like, what do we do next? What was that like?
Yeah. So, directly after this happened, the next day I called down to the sheriff's department and spoke with the sheriff, Ward Calhoun. And I actually made an appointment to come down there and speak with him on this, because I had told him, you know, that I wanted more information and that I wanted to file a complaint. And when I got there, what I walked into was just, I can't even describe. It was just to intimidate me. the way that I was spoken to as a mom, as a woman in general, was just disgusting. It has just continued, the gaslighting, and we have had retaliation from the sheriff's department. We have had retaliation from their spouses. We have had from their girlfriends, their families. And mind you, all of this came about because I asked questions. This was not an attack on them or anything like that. I simply asked questions. And because I started asking questions, I was treated the way that I was. Mm-hmm. I was out to cause trouble. That has never been my intention. I hold, law enforcement officers, they have a very hard job. I do not doubt that. However, they have rules that they have to follow just like any other job.
Right.
And when you don't, just as if you went into, say you're a nurse and you went in and you did something, crazy or whatever, you're going to get in trouble for that, right? Or at least you're going to get written up, you're going to get talked to or anything like that. But none of that happened here.
So there was no reprimanding, no write-up, no nothing?
No. All of these officers are still employed. They have taken no accountability whatsoever.
The mocking and the ridiculing on social media, which I have seen myself.
Yeah.
I'm just here with the popcorn or however it was put. But sorry to interrupt you. Where was you going?
Oh no, I was going with that, the retaliation from the spouses and just the department itself. It's like, this is so unprofessional, the way that everything has been handled. And I have handled myself, in the way that I'm supposed to. I have done all of my research. I have, filed everything correctly. I have not caused a scene anywhere. But just for simply asking questions, you get treated like you are just, just evil.
Yes.
I mean,
scum of the earth.
yeah, basically. And it's just like, we even had the school resource officer at my son's school. He actually joined in on that retaliation. And so far, he's still there. So it's really discouraging when you have a child who's gone through something like this, and there are people in the community and there are people, saying that he deserved this, or, he's a big football player, and so that somehow made it okay.
Well, I think I read or saw where one of them was actually accusing it of the officer didn't do it, that was something that had happened at football practice or something.
Yeah, they were saying one of the women got on there and said that this actually happened at a game prior, and it did not. Throughout this whole process, I have been told that a doctor falsified these reports. It is just insane that the things that people come up with.
So, like, as of today, I mean, you mentioned like FOIA and just trying to see the records, just trying to get the information, just asking questions. Like, walk us up to today. I know you've been working on this for almost a year, but like, what was next after like these requests were being put in? The requests were being denied or ignored, or you're paying for redaction when there's no redactions. Like,
right.
How long has this journey like Where are you at on it?
Okay, so basically, we did not go public with any of this until April. It was right before April. That was the court date with my husband, and after, you know, there was so much retaliation that was going on, I finally was like, I cannot be silent about this anymore. And so that's kind of where we got to with that. Like the FOIA, I am still in the process of trying to get the unredacted body camera footage. Everything that I have so far has been redacted. That means like they kind of pick and choose what you're seeing and mm-hmm. what you're not seeing. So they're not giving me the videos to their entirety, which is, it goes against every, you know, Public Records Act, especially involving a minor child. If something happens to your minor child and they are in the hands of a police officer, you have every right to see everything that happened to your child. There is no reason for them to withhold that from a parent at all. And I know the real reason why it's being withheld, and that's because they are guilty of what I'm accusing them of.
Yeah, or else release the footage. What's the big deal?
Exactly, and I have said that from the get-go. You know, if this truly did not happen, then show it to me, and I promise you I will go away. I will shut my mouth. But this has been going on for a year, and they still cannot, they can't do that. I even had the county attorney tell me in an email that my son was a innocent passenger who was just unfortunate in this whole ordeal, but that in no way, shape, or form was he injured during this encounter. And I actually took him straight to the ER. I didn't even go bail being out of jail. I took him straight to the ER because he was bleeding and complaining of shoulder pain and things like that. So it is just ludicrous. The things that a county attorney has even come up with. Like, I have even gotten to the point, I actually filed a complaint with the Mississippi Bar against him because of this. And this man is, he's hired. You know, he's hired by our Board of Supervisors who are elected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So.
And so, like, just a little bit more on this journey, just for a resource for our listeners is, like, mm-hmm. if they were to ever find themselves in a case similar to this, so you come get your son, you immediately go to the ER, you're getting his side of the tail, he's getting checked out, looked after. Next couple of days, your first action was going over to the sheriff's department after you had called the sheriff?
Yes. Yeah. I immediately, because I was trying to piece everything together, I'll be the first to tell you that when all of this happened, you know, I obviously had a lot of questions, and I was, you know, raised that you don't question law enforcement, and that these kind of things, you know, I essentially believed that they were right to begin with, immediately after. And it wasn't until, you know, the next day that I was like, no, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just so wrong. And so that's kind of when I really started being like, no. And then, things just are not adding up.
Yeah, and then just the way that you said that you treated them, it was like intimidation tactics and just the way that they were speaking to you. So, like, after you left there, I'm sure disheartened and, like, frustrated and, like confused, is like, well, this system is in place for me and it's working against me. What did you do next?
I basically just got online and just started researching and networking and trying to just ask anyone that would listen, hey, this doesn't seem right. What should I do about this? And it was just kind of like, it's just kind of like a puzzle, just piecing it together. And I've just kind of made it my mission now that, hey, I'm going to figure this out one way or the other. And somebody is going to answer for what happened.
And so, like, this has been escalated with, like, the local officials, elected or not. And then, like, was your next escalation, did you take it to county or did it go straight to the state?
So, I immediately, right after that, I left it at the sheriff's level. I really thought that maybe they were going to look into things. And then that's when I started consulting, you know, my husband started consulting with his attorney. And at that point, that's when I realized that they were not going to do anything. And so I myself contacted MBI, Mississippi Bureau of Investigation, and actually reported this. And I called and reported it, and you have to go through like a reporting line. And I was kind of expecting, you know, for it to take a little bit. But the very next day, I got a phone call, and it was from John Calhoun. And immediately, we live in a very small town, and immediately I just put two and two together, and I was like, are you related to the sheriff? And he proceeded to tell me that, yes, that was his brother.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, so immediately, you know, your heart sinks, and you're just like, okay, this is going nowhere. And I actually got the email of his supervisor and emailed him, you know, saying that I wanted someone else to take a look at this, and that was never handled. So from that, I got on the phone with the FBI and reported this to the FBI. And they have done an investigation. However, those investigations they kind of have to go on everything that the sheriff's department gives them, is the way that I have understood this process. And in that process, they only use what the sheriff's department gives them. So if the sheriff's department only gave them the body camera footage that was redacted, then they didn't see the whole picture, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're at there. MBI actually could not finish their investigation because the FBI was actually investigating this. But that has come back, and that was a little bit disheartening. However, considering, you know, what I know now, in the grand scheme of things, we all know that civil rights were violated, regardless of whether you caught this on video or not. Medical evidence, you know, says otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from a state investigated all the way up to the FBI, like, that's federal. They're looking into it. It comes back. Didn't go your way. Like, so, mm-hmm. So where are you at right now?
So, right now, so as of June, I have I've put in for an intent to sue. So that is in process right now, for a lawsuit. And my husband is still actually, awaiting appeal, in the appellate court right now. So we're kind of at a standstill right now with it. you know, kind of waiting to see how this, you know, court goes and everything like that.
Now with this, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
With the intent to sue, and you finally get to court, like, I guess, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not a lawyer or study law or anything, but like, is the goal just to get all information, public access? Like, we want to see everything.
Yes.
Is that?
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Kind of a goal.
That is my goal. That has been my goal. That I want accountability, and I want you to produce those documents for me. I have exhausted every resource. So that's kind of where we're at with it right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, and I can't think of the legal term for it, but that's like, I just following like civil cases of celebrities or whatever's going on in the country. It's like they always just want to get them. It's not appeals. It's when all the documents come out and like it becomes like just public information. Like this is going to be posted online, anybody can read it. There's no redactions anymore. And you make of it what you will, you know?
Right. That has been, you know, that has been the goal all along. But I also, you know, I think you and I were talking before. There's a lot of kids in this community that I'm close with, and that has been in the back of my head this whole time. There are some kids that I know that this would absolutely devastate their families. This would absolutely, you know, change the whole trajectory of their life. Because a lot of times the things that I have seen and heard through doing this is that a lot of times they will put, you know, bogus charges on someone, and I've seen it happen. And then you're stuck, you know, fighting these things in court, and I just keep going back to, what about the children that don't have someone to fight for them? That don't have, you know, a mom or a dad to stand up and say, hey, this is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have easily done that. And I have been advised so many times to actually do that. But there's something in me that I just cannot let that go.
Well, I mean, I think it's a valiant fight to be fighting. It's worthy. And I think, like, in the end, it's like all you're looking for is justice. Even if, like, all your hypotheses or theories or, you know, whatever, you know, your thought, like, just let all the information be out in the open. Okay.
Right.
What I thought was completely wrong, I apologize. Let's move on. It should not, this journey shouldn't have been this long, and it, you know, and all that. And on top of that, I mean, like, I absolutely hate this happened to your son, your husband, your family. And like, but I mean, like you said, it's like why this story means a lot to me. And I wanted like you to share your story about this is what about those? I mean, just like your thought when you were driving up to the sheriff department, it's like, I was always told not to question. I was always told that they're right. Well, what happens when they're not?
Right.
And right. So, like, this, and this is a worthy fight. This is, I mean, this is about advocacy. This is a social study. Like, this is civics. This is, you know, like, right. Do these Bill of Rights, does this Constitution, does, like, all these things that this piece of paper grants me as a United States citizen, it ain't worth a damn if we can't get these answers. Like, exactly. This is not justice.
Right. And, you know, I kind of knew this going in, but so if you are charged with a misdemeanor in the state of Mississippi, and things have changed in different states, but Mississippi, it remains this way. And that is that justice court judges, they have very minimal requirements. And when you really start thinking about that, and you're put in a situation like we are, and you're at the mercy of these judges, and most of them, I'm just going to read you off some of these requirements that there are for a justice court judge in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And that's, you have to be a registered voter. You have to live in the county for 2 years. You have to have a high school diploma or a GED, and you just have to pass a 80-hour course and pass a test afterwards. So that's kind of where when your life, so to speak, is at the hands of judges, and then you start looking at what the qualifications are for these judges, and it's scary. It is very scary, because just like in our case, you know, we're going on a year, and the things that my family has had to endure and probably will continue to endure, it's unreal. It really is. And it will make you, and I hope that there's a lot of people that do, you know, pay a lot of attention to this, because this could happen. This could happen to you. It happened to me. We were a, you know, normal family, so to speak, and this happened. So this is not just happening to, you know, criminals and things like that. This is happening to everyday folks. And it's not just us. I have, my inbox is full of just people who have reached out and, hey, this happened to us. This happened to us. So it's a culture here.
And see, and that right there, I mean, speaks so loud to me. Is like, and, you know, as this carries on, you know, it might be Clearman verse, and I mean, this might be something that it gets taken to the highest court of the land, or like however this goes mm-hmm. down. And I mean, this might be something that, you know, in 20 years, maybe it's in the history book. It's like, this was a huge civil rights case.
Yeah.
Like, and just for all those messages from the inbox, and just how vocal you have been on social media, and I couldn't even imagine, like, the intimidation that you've probably been getting on top of, like, the DMs. Is like, hey, that happened to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so you're not alone, and then, like, but you drew a line in the sand, and
I did.
Now you got your public enemy number one to some people.
Yeah, that's an understatement. But it's just, like you said, I had to draw a line somewhere, because enough's enough. You know, like, how many, like I said, my inbox is full, and just the things that I'm hearing and seeing, it is just, it's unreal. It's unreal. And you're like, do we live in the United States right now? Because this is just, I can't even explain it.
I mean, this is, like, it's taking me back. Like, I'm a music guy, but, like, it's taking me back to, like, Jason Isbell. He's got this song about the TVA. And, mm-hmm. like, you know, he shares about how his grandfather and his family, until the TVA came, but his grandmother wrote a letter to FDR. And that was the, and that was a big steam engine because his family's from North Alabama, right there on the Tennessee Valley line, and that letter was a big part of FDR getting involved and getting the TVA there and like creating a whole bunch of jobs and getting the South power. And so, like, my God, it's like, where's the escalation before you stop? I mean, is it writing the current administration be like, hey, I know you're busy trying to solve worldly problems, but here's something that's happening right here, and I think it needs some eyeballs.
And that's kind of, I have gone in front of the board of supervisors, and I just, it floors me that they, it's almost like there's just no concern whatsoever. Like, I've even sat in on work sessions with them, and it's like I have seen them get more fired up over where somebody puts their garbage than what's going on in this actual county and what I actually brought to them. Hey, this happened to a child. A child.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine like going to those city council meetings or those work meetings, and when you got up to make your case, it's like, man, I would have, you know, looked right down the barrel, looking them in the eye, and I was like, what if this happened to your son or daughter? What if this happened to your, what if this happened to your granddaughter? How would you feel about that? Are you okay with that?
And the answer that I have gotten out of this county is, yeah, we are.
Wow.
That's the exact message that I have gotten from this county. The leaders here are just, I really and honestly, I don't even know what they're doing. Like, I have sat, the things that I have sat through and listened to, like I said, I mean, I listened to a work session last time where they are so fired up about, you know, where you're going to dump your trash and this and that. And I'm sitting right behind them, and I've just talked about my son, and you're not even fired up about that.
Yeah, it's more about like where Judy puts her trash. You don't put it on the curb like I like it.
Right. And that is so discouraging. And it's, my answer to them has always been, what does that say to a child? That what everything that you have told the adults in your life that have, you know, this has happened to you, and they're all telling you, no, it wasn't that bad, you should just move on.
Yeah. Well, once again, Megan, I really wanted to thank you for like your advocacy and being outspoken. I know it takes an insane amount of courage, and I can only imagine like you know, whether it be with faith or like just internal relationships within the family, or maybe external, maybe some friendships were lost over this. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't imagine the amount of courage it takes. But you know, if worst case scenario, I guess like the hope and the prayer is if nothing comes of this, maybe at least with your son's age group, the advocacy that you carried on and was very passionate about, maybe they can finally get the right people voted in to get this cleaned up one day, you know?
Right. That's the hope. And, you know, there's been so many great people that I have met throughout this journey, and I've lost quite a few. But what I have gained is tenfold. Meg Britt, she is, you know,
she is a lioness. I'm a huge fan of Meg. That is one lady that I do not want to cross.
Yeah, she has been so helpful through this, and I am just eternally grateful for her. And, you know, there's another girl, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but, Michaela Stewart, she's actually in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and she's doing some great work, with some advocacy stuff that she's got going on. So there's, you know, there's a community of people that this has happened to. You know, if this has happened to you, you're not alone. And there's a lot of resources out there, actually.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that, you know, you said you just hopped online and just started Googling and fitting those puzzle pieces in together, but if you can just call to mind, like, you know, where did you go? Was it US.gov or like MS.gov? Like, where did you go to start solidifying your rights?
I'm going to be honest with you, ChatGPT.
There you go.
Yes. You know, I use it throughout, you know, for a while for other things. And, like, you just get on it and you just start asking questions. And it just kind of fills in the blank.
Oh, I'll be honest with you. I recently, I purchased a business back in March. And, you know, I'm a small business owner now. And so, like,
yeah.
When I was first got going, ChatGPT was my best friend because I was asking it everything. And then, you know, like, do I double check it? Of course. Like, I mean, I've got other friends who are business owners, but like, I would say 98% of the time, it is right on the head.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's several other programs that I've been kind of introduced through this, but, that's where I started. And then it just kind of evolved from there. So.
Well, I mean, that's taking advantage of the resources of, Megan, I don't know if there was anything else a part of the story that you wanted to cover. Once again, thank you so much for your time and being willing to share your story with all of us.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. You know, I'm new to this, so I might have rambled on a little bit, but thanks for having me.
No, it's fine. And like with something like this, I was talking to Meg Britt a little bit about it, and you know, I just wanted to be careful. And I was like, well, you know, Megan's going to know exactly what she can and cannot share. Because, you know, like with litigation and everything going on, like some things need to be held closer to the chest. And I know, like, for those of you out there listening, it was like, well, I wanted some more of the tea. Well, maybe we can give you more of the tea down the road.
Yeah. And you know, I have a lot of things posted on my Facebook page. There's several YouTube videos out there. So if anybody wants to follow, you can go to my Facebook page and check me out.
Yeah, you know, that's how I founded a mutual friend of ours, Ken Flint. He shared your story, and usually when Ken shares something, like, I pay attention. Like, he's a real no-nonsense guy.
Right.
And right when I saw that, you know, I just started digging into your story. I added you. And, you know, like, I started going through your posts, and then I messaged you, and I was like, I am following this story.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope that, you know, somebody gets something out of this somewhere, and maybe this can help somebody else.
Yeah. Well, right on. Megan, if there's nothing else to do, thank you so much for your time once again.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
And like I say, man, just hit me up, and I'll continue following the story. But when we get a conclusion, I would love to have you back, and maybe we have some justice and some accountability.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fingers crossed. That's all we can hope for, right?
That's it. Well, all right, Megan. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Elliot Devon, and we're here at Owl Spirits and Music in Reform, Alabama, with the Three Song Sundays. I'm going to get started off with one I wrote with my friend Schaefer Yana called Shooting Star a few weeks ago. Here it goes. Thank you. and breathe, I still try. Next one I've got is an older one of mine that I wrote sometime last year, and I won in April. I won the UNA songwriting competition with this song, and it's called "Fell in Love Too Fast." Thank you. The next one I'm going to play is one I wrote with John Paul White. For winning the songwriter competition at UNA, the prize was a co-write with him, and this is the song that came out of that. It's called In the Way.
Everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.